When my mother talked about menopause, she called it the change. And it was all hush-hush, as if there was something wrong about something so natural. Thank goodness, with mental health awareness and recent exciting research, we're beginning to understand the huge role hormones play in women's bodies. Being postmenopausal like me has its challenges, but if you're going through either perimenopause or menopause, then you need to try Hormone Harmony. Why? Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, HappyMammoth.com, and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. This is SELFWORK, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At SELFWORK, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work. I've worked with marathon runners and bikers and a few other athletes that have told me how they mentally train as well as intense physical training to extend the time it takes to hit that wall. But that's athleticism. What about realizing when you're creating a situation when your own ability to cope and manage stress is reaching its limit? Welcome to this week's edition of Self-Work. Yesterday, I hit a wall, or perhaps better said, I hit my wall. I couldn't think, I couldn't create. I felt physically weighed down. I needed to get quiet and refuel. How often does this happen to you? And how often are you able to recognize that that's what's happening? Some of you might quickly say, I can't hit a wall. I've got too many responsibilities. I need to make money. I need to keep going no matter what. Actually, refueling isn't or doesn't have to be what you might think, like taking an entire day off. No. Slowing things down, not always possible. What you want to try to circumvent or stop is the likelihood that you'll begin a downward spiral that's hard to get out of once it gains momentum. That's what we're going to focus on today, how to recognize that you're coming close to hitting your wall, which will be different for everybody, and recognize that way before a negative flow of energy or what's called a negative spiral begins to happen. I'll give you a hint. It's tied to the words you use and the beliefs those words reflect. So we've got some mindfulness practice thrown in. Our listener voicemail is from a man that says, oh my God, everything is coming together. Enmeshment, depression, and perfectionism. But his last sentence made me laugh so hard as he laughed at himself. BetterHelp has been with us as a sponsor longer than anyone else, and they can really help you, especially now that they have 35,000 therapists. Here's a message from BetterHelp. BetterHelp has long been a sponsor of Self-Work and a great one. And of the several online therapies out there, they by far have the most highly rated. In fact, I looked it up to make sure. And Forbes has BetterHelp rated more highly over both Talkspace and online therapy, the other major online providers. Now, you might be asking yourself, so why would any good clinician want to work for an online service? Let me tell you, those clinicians don't have to take care of all the business details, the paperwork, the insurance filing, the scheduling service, none of it. I myself have been approached by BetterHelp several times to join their network. And when I saw the benefits, frankly, if I hadn't already had too much on my plate, I would have joined. You can communicate through text, chat, video, or phone, whatever is most convenient and works for you. And the number one problem that so many people face when considering therapy, that problem is taken care of for you. What is it? How do I find someone? The BetterHelp website asks you questions, you answer them, and then they find a therapist that fits best for you in your area. If you have one session and don't get much out of it, All you have to do is let them know and the process starts over again. It's private, professional, convenient, and affordable. These are licensed professionals, someone who's put years into their training so that they can best help you. And so much of the hassle is taken care of for you. They now have 35,000 clinicians in their network, up from 25,000. So now is your time to choose BetterHelp. And if you use this link, betterhelp.com/selfwork, you'll get 10% off your first month of sessions. It's betterhelp.com/selfwork. I promise you, good therapy helps. I know, I've been there, it helped me, and it can help you. The old phrase, it's the pot calling the kettle black, comes to mind when I'm talking about handling stress and responsibilities and knowing when you're about to hit a wall, but you try to push beyond it, which can lead to big trouble, usually both physically, emotionally, and mentally. Now, why does that phrase come to mind? Because my own husband would gently, but quite sarcastically, remind me of the many walls I've not wanted to see and tried to go around, climb over, or otherwise not pay attention to. Walls that were evidence that my own levels of energy were being used up. I, as usual, did a bit of reading up on how you hit a wall. It started out as a term meant for athletes. Hitting the wall was generally thought to be the point when the body ran out of easy carbohydrates to process, and when it does, will simply stop functioning properly. I've worked with marathon runners and bikers and a few other athletes that have told me how they mentally train as well as intense physical training to extend the time it takes to hit that wall. But that's athleticism. What about realizing when you're creating a situation when your own ability to cope and manage stress is reaching its limit? That could be because you're becoming overwhelmed by the very extent of your to-do list, when it seems that more and more gets shoved or you accept onto your plate. Conversely, it could be because you're not organized or you procrastinated. Deadlines or others' expectations are coming fast and furious, or certainly so it seems. I did an interview with Dr. David Rosemarin last week. He's the author of Thriving with Anxiety, which I will make available to you here in a couple of weeks. And he made the distinction between stress and anxiety. Stress occurs when you don't have the skills to cope with whatever you're facing in life. If you have the skills, you wouldn't be as stressed. You'd say, I've got this. If a job calls for a hammer, you've got a hammer. If it calls for a hammer won't work. Only a wrench will. So do you have a wrench? Anxiety, on the other hand, is more about fear, not an actual deficit. And then worry that often goes along with anxiety is something you do to feel as if you're doing something about that anxiety, even though it's not really helping. However, let's get back to hitting our wall. Ready? There are three things that could be happening. First, you've worn yourself down. You've run out of easy fuel for the task. You might mistake your fatigue with having no skills, but basically it's fatigue. Second, you're telling yourself you don't have the skills when you actually do and simply need to remind yourself of that. And then third, you don't have the skills and you need to ask for help. Now that can be stressful. And what you tell yourself about not having those skills is extremely important. But what you can do about it is take the time afterward to learn that new skill and practice so you have it when you need it again. So we're going to look at these three situations. And I'll go back to my hammer and wrench analogy, sort of easy and to the point. First of all, your wall is about being worn out. You may not be great at self-care. You may tend to run as fast as possible to get where you're going. You may deny that you're exhausted. You're using your hammer over and over and over again, and more hammering needs to be done. And you just feel lost. How often have you told a friend or your child, get some sleep, it'll be different when you wake up tomorrow? And how often is that true? Pretty frequently. Obviously not for true tragedy occurring when nothing's going to change something that's happened. But when your energy is just wiped out, you need to rest. Trying to climb over that wall, as I've done myself many times, only complicates matters. Well, the world doesn't stop for my being tired. I might hear, and I've heard this a lot. I get it. Children remain hungry. Homework needs to be done. Reports need to be finished at work. But during sleep, our minds do a lot of repair. Memory is encoded, and it becomes more accessible. If your mantra is, I can't rest, I can't take a break, you're probably not seeing the options. You may not want to ask for another day. You may fear what will happen if you do, if you ask for more time or whatever. But here's my point. What will happen if you don't? So taking some time off, some time for some rest is really important. But okay, let's say that sleep or rest isn't truly possible. That's where mindfulness or being in the present is helpful. Let's say you've hit a wall and you're exhausted, but you can't really sleep or rest for a period of time. What you can do is go inward for that rest. You can take 5 minutes to get away, even if it's in your car or your office, and just breathe deep, slow breaths. You can calm your mind by shutting your eyes and coming into your own senses for a minute or two. Even this amount of rest can help. It's sort of like asking someone else to hammer while you take a short break and just be in that moment. Notice where you're fatigued. Try to relax your muscles in that area. Just give yourself a little mental break. And it may be that you find another source of energy for that moment. You might want to try it out right now. Hit the pause button on this recording and just see if you can take 2 or 3 minutes with your eyes closed to feel your feet on the floor. Feel, is it cold or warm in the room? Just notice how you're breathing. And if you're breathing really fast, then slow it down. Not forcefully, but calmly. It's amazing what you can do by giving your mind just a little bit of a break. All couples go through times when they feel what I call out of sync. You're seeming to be in one space, but your partner's in another. It's normal. But how do you get back in sync? The newest sponsor of Self-Work Paired has an idea. It's an app that's founded on the simple belief that real love takes practice and a little bit of time. This is how it works. You and your partner both download the app, then you pair together, and the app will take care of it from there. You're probably not around each other for hours each day. Paired gives you an easy way to learn more about each other, whether your relationship is new or not. So whether you're just a few dates in or have been together a long time, find the time to connect with your partner and nourish your relationship. With the Paired app, it's easy and fun. It only takes 5 minutes a day. Head to Paired, paired.com/selfwork to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to Paired, paired.com/selfwork to sign up today. Let's take the second situation. You're telling yourself that you don't have the skills to do or try something when in actuality, you do have those skills, or you have a skill that's close enough to the one you think you need that you could try it out. This wall isn't one you hit from fatigue. It's one that you've built yourself. You're putting yourself down. I can't do this. I'm not as smart as everybody else. And when you say it enough, it can become a belief. So you believe you shouldn't try it. I don't have the skills. It feels like too much risk. And yet when you really begin to think, wait a minute, where did that voice come from? And do I want to still believe it? It will help you risk. Now, this particular problem can also look like procrastination. Sometimes your belief is something has to be perfect for it to be successful or acceptable. Or you've got a focusing problem, which is really a problem in and of itself, and you actually do have problems with organization. That second scenario is different. But back to believing you're not enough. Right now, I want you to list 5 things you know you do competently. Maybe you make a mean cup of coffee. Maybe you remember people's names easily. Maybe you know Beyonce or Taylor Swift songs by heart. Maybe you're the one who always remembers to feed the dog. I don't really care what it is. But write down 4 or 5 things that you know you do very well. Then ask yourself, when did I learn this? You didn't come out of the womb knowing how to do the things you know how to do. When and how did you learn? Now, what's my point? You can't do something competently until you've done it repeatedly. Let me say that again. You can't do something competently until you've done it repeatedly. If you want proof, go to some of my earliest podcasts and listen to them. I'm uptight. I'm talking like I realize someone might be listening, so I sound real self-conscious, or I do to myself. I didn't know how to do this, and it showed. My first interview with John Moe, oh my Lord, I was not near as relaxed as I am now. But I've practiced. In fact, 401 times. You can work on focusing on yourself as competent, which can only help you develop a healthier self-esteem or self-belief, which then can lead to taking more risks. So you may have hit a wall, but then you think, what have I learned from other things that challenged me? What have I tackled that's similar to what I'm trying to do today? You hit your wall of self-doubt, but you bounce off of it. You don't let it stop you. Your hammer can somehow work if this and this and this. You begin to recognize self-doubt as fear, as lack of practice, as not sure if you have the skill or not, but you're willing to try. Remembering the things that you do have skills around and how you learned them, and just make this another example of that. You need to be your own cheerleader in a way. Now we've reached the third situation. You've hit a wall. Because the situation asks for or even demands skills that you truly don't have. Perhaps my stupidest example of this happened years ago. I was going to what was then called North Texas State when I was studying music, and there were auditions for a famous musical that was very heavy in tap dance, meaning the whole cast needed to know how to tap. So I, in my audaciousness, bought a pair of used tap shoes, took a couple of lessons, and went to the audition. We were lined up with numbers on our chest like you see in old shows on TV, and I hid in the back line, but eventually each line stepped to the front. It didn't take long before the director stopped the music and yelled, "Number 47, do you even know how to tap?" I was number 47. "Not really," I piped up, "but I thought I could learn." Oh, you should see the look on his face. I was so naive or stupid, depending on how you looked at it. I had lots of chutzpah, I guess. Makes for a good story, right? But I was ushered out of the audition. Now, how often do we realize that our skills are simply not enough? And instead of saying, "I need help," or "I'm going to need some supervision on this," or "I'm going to ask some folks to team up with me here," you'll stall or lie. Anything to not reveal that you need help. The wall you hit is your pride or your ego. Maybe in more serious cases, your own tendency to overstate your skills. When I interviewed Sarah Fay, the author of Pathological, a year or more ago, she told the story of receiving 6 misdiagnoses from several different psychiatrists, all who seemed to rush to give her the answer about what was going on with her. Nothing helped that they suggested, or very little, and for years she struggled with side effects from medications, as well as spending lots of time and effort on their suggestions. Finally, she went to a doctor who said to her, "Your history is complex. I'm not sure what's going on with you." It was like she was hearing manna from heaven. It was such a gift for someone to admit not knowing something and wanting to take time to think about it, meet with her more, seek out others' opinions. And guess what? She got better from such good care. But so often we have too much pride to say, "I don't know," or "I'm going to need help." I hope I model that for you, because I could on self-work broach a topic that I think is important and then just tell you what my experience has been. But for those of you who've listened a lot, I always go to the research. Unless it's a very personal episode, I always go to the research to see what is going on in that field, what other people say, what other people's experiences have been, because I don't know everything. And I want to give all of you the broadest spectrum of knowledge and information I can give you. So I give you mine, but I also try to give you other people's. So I'm modeling asking for help. Let's go back over the 3 walls that we've talked about today. First, emotional and mental fatigue, self-doubt, and pride. All can be walls that you'll hit. But once, hopefully, that you realize what your own wall tends to be, one of those 3 or all 3 or whatever, you can try to recognize when it's coming far earlier. And when you're near it, You can stop and remind yourself either, I need to pause, rest, or be mindful, or I want to challenge my own self-doubt and remember my competence. Or third, it doesn't make me less of a person to admit I don't have an answer or the skill that's needed. In fact, quite the opposite. You'll engender trust from others when you say that, and you'll build your own sense of integrity.
SpeakPipe message from Dr. Margaret Rutherford.com.
Oh my God, this all fits so well. My mother, enmeshment, guilt, and then to top it off, the depression, which I've already been trying to deal with my whole life, but I never looked at it with the struggle with strong perfectionism to mask it. That is exactly me. I'm going to be reading your books. But first, I'm going to have to call my mom, of course, ask her if I can leave this.
It sounds like this man was reading not only about enmeshment, which I've talked about here on self-work quite a bit, but also had read or heard my work on perfectly hidden depression and discovered himself therein. And yes, it can all fit together. When you grow up in a family where either the entire family has no true individual privacy, where you aren't supported in outside activities because the family or cultural belief is that you're only safe with family. That's an enmeshed family. Or the enmeshment can be between a parent and a child, where the parent pulls the child into a pseudo-adult role with him or her. The child can act as confidant, feeling at first how very special that is. But over time, it becomes apparent that the child cannot fix that parent. So it becomes a job that can last forever. What also usually happens, or certainly can happen, is that the child gets the message that they're not supposed to have a life of their own, or that they're not really capable of making their own decisions. So the tether stays pretty tight between parent and child. I remember a client from years ago, almost every decision he made, he conferred first with his dad, and he was in his early 40s. When he went out to play a sport with his friends, he felt he had to invite his dad, who while there, told stories about my client, we'll call him Mike, how he could have been a real pro at that sport if he just listened to his dad. Where Mike went, his dad went. When he came in, Mike was depressed and he didn't know why. He had a good job, but he'd never gotten over not going pro in that sport. He'd been married once and quickly divorced and hadn't had a serious relationship in years. I said to him gently one day, "Has it occurred to you, Mike, that you're kind of married to your dad?" He looked at me somewhat shocked at first. But a few seconds later, I could see his face changing as he realized the depth of what I'd said and how his life was so tightly interwoven with his own father's. Mike took his pro certification test in his sport and became a coach of that sport in a town in another state. He talked to his dad, who seemed to support his move. The last I heard, Mike was doing much better. His depression had come from many sources, but now he was accepting what he could do. Isn't this kind of interesting? He hit that wall of self-doubt, didn't he? And began to move on to building a life away from his dad. He loved his dad and would include him, but not at the expense of creating his own life and happiness. That's why it was so funny what this listener said at the end. "I'll have to call my mom to see if I can do this." He was poking fun, or at least I hope so, at himself and what he may have done from a false sense of responsibility. I wish him well, and certainly you as well, if you see yourself in any of these stories. Thank you all for being here. Please join me at my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/selfwork. I'd love to have you. We're almost 4,000 strong and people from all over the world. We laugh, we talk, we share. And I'm on there at least every 2 or 3 days trying to respond myself. Thank you to those who've reached out to me that you've agreed to be interviewed by me. I've run into a bit of a time crunch, so that may be a little later in the summer than I had previously considered. But I haven't forgotten, and I'll be back with you. Of course, Perfectly Hidden Depression is still on sale and going strong. Remember, I'd love to speak at your group about depression, workplace depression, perfectionism and how it can be dangerous, whatever you'd like for me to talk about, and certainly suicide prevention. Just contact me at AskDrMargaret at DrMargaretRutherford.com, and I'll get back in touch with you. Thank you, as always, for being here. Please take very good care of yourself, your loved ones, and your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.